We're doing the Chazon Ish Emuna u'Bitachon, and we are revisiting the 14th section of the first chapter, page Yud Aleph. Shnei kochot nivru b'nefesh ha'adam. Two forces were created within man's soul. Koach ahava v'koach sinah. The power to love, the power to hate. V'lo'olam inichus ha'adam l're'eu b'kifon sh'shnei kochot yachad. Man's relationship to one's friend is never void of these two forces. One of them is at play, and the other one is silent, inevitably. They are complete opposites. The two cannot coexist. The decisive factor between the two, who will live, who will die, who will shift and who will rest, primarily is contingent upon action. Ordinarily, we love and hate people based on what they've done to us. There are different causes that cause us to love or hate someone naturally. You know, if someone hits you, if someone derides you, if someone mocks you, you know, if someone favors you, if someone's kind to you, if someone benefits you, so there's a reason why people love their grandparents, love their uncle and aunt, etc. So there's the regular reason why people love and hate. But the truth is, there are other reasons, hidden reasons. There are hidden causes that produce love and charm, affection for one's friend. You meet a person on the first time, and suddenly you have positive emotions for the person. Ashaloi kiro meolam could be a person he's never met before. Umenkudat ahava zo holechet ahava v'gdela u'mitvasefet. And that feeling that begins keeps growing. And even though it doesn't begin the way we classically expect positive feelings to grow, it begins with something else. There's what we might call love at first sight. Uchmochen yesh kochot banefesh lafek sinat merorut l're'eu bli kol siba mukdemet. By the same token, one's soul can hate even though there's no real cause that one can visibly point to. Rak biglad shelo matzachen meinav. V'asina olecht mitpatachat b'neihem. And then that too can evolve. Uv'yichud ha'davar ragil be'elesh kishron tzichnam chazak midotem erot v'chadot. If one has developed one's mind and one's traits, so then one can reach a point where one's emotions evolve without need for action. You don't need someone to hit you in order to sense that they are a threat, in order to sense that they are evil. So one can reach a point where one hates that which is evil, that which is bad, even though one has not yet sensed the evil that can come from it. And one can elevate oneself to the point where one loves that which is good. One connects to it, even though one has not yet benefited from it. One can connect to it. How awesome is it to see man, a person who can risk his life, or actually give up his life, on behalf of his nation or someone from his nation. And that same person can kill someone in the proper circumstance. Look at David and Goliath. David and Goliath don't have a personal vendetta. Goliath doesn't hate David personally, and David doesn't fight Goliath personally. But David stands up for that which is right, and he attacks Goliath with all the zeal as though there was a long-standing vendetta between them. So when one has developed one's soul, one can reach a point where one's emotions and one's actions can reflect a love for that which is right, a hate for that which is evil. V'omnam kol eile hinena tiviyot ha'arumot kefi shehutbu'u b'nefesh ha'gever hukam al. When a person elevates his soul, so then it becomes second nature to love that which is good and hate that which is evil. It is a natural evolvement of one's spiritual growth. So the man who is given all the different capacities, and the mind was instructed to control the capacities of man, Well, that mind is connected between heaven and earth. That's the final thought. So the Chazon Ish began with a question. Where do we see God in the world? And then the Chazon Ish described how we can spend our lives wondering, is there ever a point of clarity? Can I reach a point where it's obvious to me, where I've really worked it out that Hashem is in the world? And the Chazon Ish said, let's take a look at the human body. And in this first chapter, the Chazon Ish went from describing the most physical part of the body, he concludes describing a part of the personality that is most spiritual. He's working his way up. You want to see Hashem, you can see Hashem from within. You can see Hashem when you see the amazing planning that's involved in creating man with fingers, with hands, with arteries, with veins, with eyes, with the heart, with a capacity to love, with a capacity to procreate. We've seen chapter by chapter the Chazon Ish describing the amazing, phenomenal planning that goes into the smooth functioning of man. The antibodies, the capacity to heal, the capacity to heal wounds. We learned all of that. And then the Chazon Ish evolved into a discussion of man's personality, into man's traits, into a discussion of man's thoughts, man's fantasies, man's imagination, and finally the Chazon Ish concludes with a discussion of man's emotion, man's love and hate, which can also be spiritual, which can also stem from a place that's higher than the physical and crass world we live in. A person can connect to a higher world, and then it's second nature for him to feel the love and the hate where he should feel the love and the hate. There's a famous story of Rav Tzvi Yehuda, that someone came into him that he had just lost his wife, and Rav Tzvi Yehuda sat with him and cried, and then the person left. And a minute later, the next guy walked in. He was a chatan on his way to his wedding. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda laughed and danced and sang with him. And the students stood there and they thought they saw Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And they thought about it and they realized that when one takes control of one's emotions, then one can be sad when he has to be sad, and it's real. And if a minute later he's supposed to be happy, he can do that, and that's real. I remember we had a student once who passed away. He had a flu, and then no one found him. And then we found him dead. And the police wanted to make sure there wasn't any foul play involved, so they wouldn't let us bury him right away. And there was a period before we could get authorization to bury him that we were waiting. We were in limbo. So 2 hours after we found him, I was devastated, and there was a group visiting from Bnei Akiva, a group that was touring Israel, and they were to have one shiur in Torah before they flew back to Europe to their respective homes. So they had to have one shiur in Torah. No, the truth is it wasn't one. It was the concluding shiur. No, I had taught them for 2 months, and this was the final shiur. We had set a date. They were coming to our house. They were going to have pizza, and they were going to have the concluding shiur at our house. And here I was at home. I'm crying. I'm not too happy. And I can't give them their final shiur with tears in my eyes, right? So suddenly I had to force myself to smile and be happy with them for the 2 hours and to reminisce and discuss with them what they got out of their 2 months stay in Israel, their 2 months in yeshiva. I faked it. I realized I'm not there yet. I can't do that. Turn off the switch, turn on the switch. Big people can be at a point where it's real by them. They can be really sad 1 minute and really happy the next minute, and it's real. But that's when one's feelings are really in channel, in line with where their soul should be. That's the growth the Chazon Ish is describing. Again, the Chazon Ish worked from the bottom up, and he's concluding the first chapter with a discussion of what heights man can attain, that one's feelings are really a reflection of his spirituality. That's a very high level. When we feel, we're feeling on a much lower level. We're feeling what we feel. It's very real. It's very plain. This is what's happening now. This is what I sense now. This is what I feel now. A week ago, 7 days ago, Tuesday morning, So we all know the heinous murder that took place on Tuesday morning in the shul in Hernof. Well, Tuesday night, I was invited to a wedding of dear friends of ours, and I was supposed to make a blessing under the chuppah. And I dreaded going to that chuppah. I dreaded making a blessing at that chuppah, because I said to myself, I should be so happy for this couple. And I kept thinking it over in my mind, how can I do that? A shul I learned in for years just had a terrible terrorist attack this morning. People are fighting for their lives, and I'm supposed to come and dance and sing and be happy with the chatan and kala at the wedding tonight, right? What's going on here? There's a halacha. The Gemara in Ksubos, Tractate Ksubos, tells us, if our wedding's being prepared, and en route to the wedding, the father of the groom dies, or the mother of the bride dies, so the halacha says, we put the body in another room, we do the wedding, and after the wedding, we take them and bury them and take care of them. We don't stop the wedding. The couple's about to get married. They have to get married. So they get married, and then we deal with the burial and the mourning. So I said to myself, you see, the halacha expects that you could put the body in another room, close the door, compartmentalize. How's the chatan getting married? His father's dead in the room next door. But the halacha says, sometimes if that's the scenario, we're not talking about where it happened a day earlier, a week earlier, 3 days earlier. We're talking about where it happened that day. So in ancient times, if the couple would say, we're postponing the wedding by a month, they'd never have the money to get married again. It took a lot of savings. It took a year's preparation. And now that his father died, who's going to help him fund his own wedding? So the Gemara says, if you're not going to let them get married now, they're probably never going to get married. Who knows if this shidduch will ever work again? If her mother isn't there to help her get to the wedding and get her stuff prepared, how's she ever going to get to the wedding again? So in ancient times, it took a lot of preparation. And so the halacha says you put the body in another room and you get married. And only then do we go and deal. So I said to myself, you see, the halacha can expect that of us. And that means that we should be able to do it. We should be able to do it. Well, when a person's soul is connected to what's right, a person can be at a level where his happiness, his love and his hate, they come from the right place and it's second nature for him to be able to apply them correctly, each one in the right time, in the right place. And that's where the Chazon Ish is evolving to, this idea that it's not only an awesome body that's created, there's also an awesome capacity within the soul to be spiritual. And notice how down to earth the Chazon Ish's description of spirituality is. He doesn't talk about being spiritual and seeing angels. He talks about being spiritual and thus channeling our love and hate. The Chazon Ish is taking something which seems to be the most mundane and showing us how when a person is very spiritual, then that which might seem mundane, the love and the hate, becomes a part of his spirituality, his spiritual being. And it is channeled, it is natural for him to channel it correctly because he is working in sync with the will of Hashem.